Dear Customer, The Truth About IT Projects. Written and read by Alan Kelly. Dear Customer, I think it's time we in the IT industry came clean about how we charge you, why our bills are sometimes a bit higher than you might expect, and why so many IT projects result in disappointment. The truth is that when we start an IT project, we don't know how much time and effort it will take to complete. Consequently, we don't know how much it will cost. This may not be a message you want to hear, particularly since you are absolutely certain you know what you want. Herein lies another truth, which I'll try and put as politely as I can. You are, after all, a customer, and, really, I shouldn't offend you. You know the saying, the customer is always right. The thing is, you don't know what you want. You may know in general terms, but the devil is in the detail. And the more detail you try to give us beforehand, the more likely your desires are to change. Each time you give us more detail, you are offering more hostages to fortune. Software engineering expert Capers Jones believes the things you want, requirements we like to call them, change 2% per month on average. That's close to 27% over a year once you compound changes. Personally, I'm surprised that number is so low. Just to complicate matters, the world is uncertain. Things change, and companies go out of business. Remember Enron? Remember Lehman Brothers? Customer tastes change. Remember Cabbage Patch Kids? Fashion changes, governments change, and competitors do their best to make life hard. So really, even if you do know absolutely what you want when you first speak to us, it is unlikely that it will stay the same for very long. I'm afraid to say that there are people in the IT industry who will take advantage of this situation. They will smile and agree with you when you tell them what you want, right up to the point when you sign. From then on, it's a different story. They know that changes are inevitable, and they plan to make a healthy profit from the change requests and late additions at your expense. While I'm being honest, it is true we sometimes gold-plate things. You might not need a data warehouse for your online retailer on day one. Yes, some of our engineers do like to do more than what is needed, and yes, we have a vested interest in getting things added so that we can charge you more. It is also true that you quite legitimately think of features and functionality you would like to have after we've begun. You naturally assume something is in when we assume it is out. And, in the spirit of openness, can you honestly say that you've never tried to put one over on us? Let's not even talk about the bugs right now. It just complicates everything. Frankly, given all this, it is touching that you have so much faith in technology to deliver. But when IT does it deliver big? Look at what it did for Bill Gates and Larry Page, or Amazon and FedEx. Isn't it interesting that when the IT industry develops things for itself, we end up with multimillionaires? When we develop for other people, they end up losing money. How did we ever talk you into any of this? Well, we package this unsightly mess and try and sell it to you. To do this, we have to hide all this unpleasantness. We start with a ritual called estimation. How much time we think the work will take. These estimates are little better than guesses. Humans can't estimate time. We've known this since at least the late 1970s, when Kahneman and Tversky described the planning fallacy in 1979 and went on to win a Nobel Prize. Basically, humans consistently underestimate how long work will take and are overconfident in their estimates. To make matters worse, we have a bad habit we really should kick. Between estimating the work and doing the work, we usually change the team. The estimate may be made by the IT equivalent of Manchester City or the New York Yankees, but the team that actually does the work is more likely a ragtag bunch of coders, analysts and managers who never met before. Historical data about estimates, actuals, costs, etc., can help inform planning, but most companies don't even have their own data. For those that do have data, most of it is worse than useless. In fact, Capers Jones suggests that inaccurate historical data is a major cause of project failure. For example, software engineers rarely get paid overtime, so tracking systems often miss those extra hours. Indeed, some companies prohibit employees from logging more than their official hours in their systems. So, we make these guesses, estimates, and we double them, or might even treble it. If the number looks too high, we might reduce it. Once our engineers have finished massaging the number, we give it to the sales folk, who massage it some more. After all, we want you to say yes to the biggest sticker price we can get. That might sound awful, but remember, we could have guessed higher in the first place. Please don't shoot me. I'm only the messenger. We don't know which number is right, but to make it acceptable to you, we pretend it is certain and we take on the risk. We can only do this if the number is sufficiently padded, and even then we are wrong. If the risk pays off, we get a fat profit. If it doesn't, we don't get any profit and may take a loss. If it's really bad, you don't get anything and we end up in court or bust. The alternative is that you take on the risk and the mess and do it yourself. Unfortunately, another sad truth is that in-house IT is generally even worse than that provided by specialists. For a software company, development is a core competency. Such companies live or die by their ability to deliver software, and if they are too bad, they cease to trade. Evolution weeds out the poor performers. Corporate IT, on the other hand, rarely destroys a business, although it may damage profits. Indeed, Capers-Jones research suggests specialist providers are generally better than corporate IT departments. Sales folk might be absent, but the whole estimation process is open to gaming for many other sources and for many other reasons. The bottom line? If you decide to take on the risk, you may actually increase the risk. I know this sounds like a no-win scenario. You could just sit on the fence and wait for Microsoft or Google to solve your problems with a package solution. But will your competitors stand still while you do? Will you still have a business to run by the time Google produces a free version? Beware snake oil salesmen selling off-the-shelf applications. Once people start talking about customization or configuration, you're headed down a slippery slope. Configuring a large SAP installation is not a matter of selecting tools, options, and then ticking a box. Configuring large packages is a major software development activity, no matter what you might have been told. The people who undertake the configuration might be called consultants, but they are really specialist software developers, programmers by another name. There really isn't a nice, simple solution to any of this. We can't solve this problem for you. We need you, but you have to work with us. As the customer, you have to be prepared to work with us, the supplier, again and again in order to reduce the risk. Addressing risk in a timely and cost-effective manner involves business-level decisions and trade-offs. If you aren't there to help, we can either make the decisions for you, adding the risk that you disagree, or spend your time and money to address it. You need to be prepared to accept and share the risk with us. If you aren't prepared to take on any risk, we will charge you a lot for all the risk we take on. Sharing the risk has the effect of reducing the risk, because once the risk is shared, you, the customer, are motivated to reduce risk. One of the major risks on IT projects is the lack of customer involvement. You can help with that by just saying involved. Ultimately, all risk is your risk. You are the customer. You are paying for the project one way or another. If it fails to deliver value, it is your business that will suffer. When you share risks, when you are involved closely, risks can be addressed immediately rather than being allowed to fester and grow. Finally, you may have grand ambitions, but we need to work in small chunks. I know this may not sound sexy, but software creation works best when small. Economies of scale don't exist. In fact, we have diseconomies of scale. So, we need to work in tiny pieces again, again, and again. If you are prepared to accept these suggestions, Then let's press reset on our relationship and talk some more. Yours sincerely, the IT industry. This essay was written and read by Alan Kelly. The essay originally appeared in the Agile Journal, now called Agile Connection, in March 2012. The essay also forms the prologue to Alan's book Zanpan, X-A-N-P-A-N. If you would like to get in contact with Alan to discuss any of the issues raised here, you can do so at www.alankelly.net. That is Alan, A-L-L-A-N, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y.net.